Let's all stand tonight.
Fill my cup up, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul.
Tonight,
yes, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Just come and quench this thirsting of my soul.
That's your desire tonight. Need a good filling and outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Just welcome each and every one of you to the service tonight. My, it's so good to see all of your lovely faces. Just pray that you'll join in with us and just give it your all. And just give God some praise and glory. Amen. That's what He deserves. Hallelujah. I'd like to sing that song, Our God Reigns. Our God Reigns.
How lovely on the mountains are the feet of Him who brings good news. Yes, good news.
That's right.
Announcing proclaiming news of happiness. Yes, our God reigns.
Is that right?
Oh, our God reigns.
Sing it with me now.
Oh, our God reigns. Yes, our God.
Listen now.
It was our sin and guilt that bruised and wounded Him. It was our sin that brought Him down. When we like sheep had gone astray, our shepherd came,
hallelujah,
and on His shoulders bore our shame. Oh, our God reigns. Yes, our God reigns. Oh, our God.
Put your hands together for Jesus tonight. I believe He's the one that's He's deserving of all that praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. My. Sounds so nice when you got a bunch of extra voices in here to give Him some glory. Amen. Wow. I wish y'all could hear what I hear up from up here. Amen. Let's sing that song, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. That's right. I'm so glad you're in my life. And I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth. Show the way from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Amen. Lord, I lift your name on high. I love to sing your praises, and I'm so glad you're in my life, and I'm so glad you came to save us. Come on now. You came from heaven to earth to show I lift your name on high. You came from heaven. You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross. My debt to pay from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Why don't we sing another one before we change the order of our service? Shout to the Lord. All the earth, let us sing. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is no like you. All of my days, yes, I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, a refuge and strength. Sing it from the top. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mind. Mighty love, my comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath, all that I am, oh, never cease to worship. Now, oh yes, shout to the Lord, for the earth let us sing, power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of the work of your hand. Forever I love you, forever I stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have, and nothing compares to the promise I have. No, nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Give him some more praise. Put those hands together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Amen, amen. Isn't he good? Amen. Why don't we change the order of our service tonight and we'll have a few prayer requests here we want to make mention for folks to be mindful of. Some musicians play something softly there. I believe Brother Troy Hughes is in the hospital. He's dealing with some kidney stones. I want to remember him and especially in prayer. I remember my wife going through that one time, and it's just, my, that's a painful thing to watch somebody go through. I've never had to deal with that, and pray that I never do, but let's remember him in prayer. God would deliver him of those. Amen. I want to remember some folks traveling tonight. I know many are trying to get to the meetings. Brother Anwar and Brother Perez will be traveling down from New York, I believe, so we want to remember them in prayer. Also, sister, special request for Sister Caitlin Florian. I believe she was not feeling well and she was in need of prayer. Just a report on my grandmother, Sister Betty Brown. Many of you probably know her. She's doing much better. She was dealing with an infection that she had in her lungs and underwent some procedures. They got her lungs cleared out. Got her oxygen levels back up. She's doing much better. They're trying to find the right antibiotic that would work to completely clear that infection. So please be praying for her. God would touch her body and lift her up. And when you get on up in age, those things are really hard for your body to bounce back from. So if you would just be mindful of that. Amen. I'd like to ask Brother David Cockman if he would come and take these needs before the Lord. Do we have any unspoken prayer requests by uplifting hands? Amen. God knows those needs. Just want to hold those on your heart as we pray. Amen. Brother David.
Just bow your heads. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for all your many blessings, Lord God. Lord, you're so wonderful to us, Lord Jesus. You know our every thought and all our needs, Lord Jesus, even Lord, before we ask, Lord God, you know, Lord Jesus, and you just want to, Lord, touch, you just want to answer the, Lord, our prayers, Lord God, and even more than we even know, Lord Jesus Christ, Lord God, you just, and we just, Lord God, bring them up to you, all the requests, Lord Jesus, and Lord, all the hearts, Lord God, you know every need, Lord Jesus Christ. Even now, Lord God, we just lift them up to you, Lord, and just ask that, Lord, by your mighty hand, Lord God, that you would just answer. And we just give you the praise and the glory, Lord. We thank you and we love you and praise your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brother David. I'll let you have your seats for a little while. We won't take up too much time. I know we have several specials here that we have. I'd like to sing that song, Open the Eyes of My Heart.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Yeah. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you. To see you high. Shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 holy. I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you.
Sing it again with me.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Oh, Lord, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up. Why don't you stand and sing? Oh, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Yes, holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Oh, I want to see.
Amen. Hallelujah. That's my desire. Hallelujah. Why don't we have our deacons come forward? We'll take up our evening offering tonight. Just be mindful to give as unto the Lord. Know that your tithes and offerings go around the world to spread the gospel throughout every nation. Amen. Brother Tom, would you lead us in prayer, brother?
Amen. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you all.
In Jesus' name. Sing it now with all your hearts. And I bless your name. Oh Lord, I bless your name. No, I give you honor. I give his name. Why don't you have your seats? I believe I have a special from Brother Keith Buchanan tonight. Appreciate the Buchanan family and their talent. Amen.
Hey man, isn't it great to be in church on a Friday night?
Amen.
Amen. How many of you met the Lord? Can you say that He truly made a change in you? Amen. You ever met Him and had that true experience, you can truly say He made a change.
Road, he never was the same again. When Peter met the Lord and left his boat, he started fishing for men. Now I'd not be Peter Paul, but one thing I can truly say, when I met the Lord and made Him my choice, He definitely made a change.
He made a change in the way that I'm walking. Old things pass away. Behold, everything's new.
He made a change
in the life that I'm living. I'm born again, set free, finally forgiven.
If He can make a change in me, He can make a change in you. Now I've seen some old friends shaking their head, 'cause they never thought they'd see the day when a sinner like me would praise the Lord and bow my head to pray. Now I'm not what I used to be. You see, my life has been rearranged. Oh, it's nothing that I've done, but I have found someone. He definitely made a change. He made a change in the way that I'm talking. Old things pass away. Behold, everything's new. Oh, He made a change in the life that I'm living. I'm born again, set free, finally forgiven. If He can make a change in me, He can make a change in you.
He made a change in the way that I'm talking. Old things pass away. Behold, everything's new.
Yes, He made a change
in the life that I'm living. I'm born again, set free, finally forgiven. If He can make a change in me, He can make a change in you.
Oh, yes, He made a change
in the way that I'm walking.
He made a change
in the way that I'm talking. Old things pass away. Behold, everything's new.
He made a change
in the life that I'm living. I'm born again, set free, finally forgiven. If He can make a change.
changing you. Oh, I said if he can make a change in me, he can make a change in you. Oh, I know if he can make a change in me, he can make a change in you. He made a change.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. You glad for that change? Amen. Why don't we continue in that line of worship? I'd like to sing that song, Oh, I Want to See Him, Look Upon His Face. Maybe key of F. As I journey through the land, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary, to the crimson flow. Though many arrows pierce my soul, from without within, but my Lord leads me on, with Him I must win. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice, cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in service for my Lord, dark may be the night, but I'll cling more close to Him, He will give me light. You know Satan's snares may vex my soul, turn my thoughts aside, but my Lord goes ahead, leads where every time. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to see forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice, cares all past, only last, ever to rejoice. Verse 3 now. When in valley low I look towards the mountain high, and behold my Savior there, oh, leading in the fight. You know, with a tender outstretched hand toward the valley low, well, He's guiding me. I can see as I onward go. Stand and sing with me. See Him, look upon His face, there to see forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice, oh, holy last, ever to rejoice. Verse 4 now. When before me billows rise from the mighty deep, oh, when the Lord directs my bark, oh, He does safely keep. And He leads me gently on through the world below. Oh, He's a real friend to me. Oh, I love Him so. Don't you? Amen. See Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice, cares all past, home at last, heaven to rejoice. Oh, I want to see Him. Just look upon His face, there to sing forever.
Of glory, let me lift my voice, a home at last, ever to rejoice. Let's give Him an offering of praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Shake hands with three people. Tell them, God bless you, pilgrim. Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. You may be seated. God bless you all. Welcome. Welcome to HBT. Welcome to Hickory Bible Tabernacle. You all had to be commended for coming so far to dedicate a fellowship hall. We appreciate every one of you being here. It's a special weekend for us. We've planned, we have prayed, we have painted, we have cooked, we have swept, we have done everything that we know to do to be ready for this weekend. And you know what? It just feels like already that He's reached down and just kind of taken this meeting in His hand. And that's what we prayed this evening before we came out. We just said, Lord, You reach down and take it now. It's Yours. We've done our part. It's Yours. And we just want Him to receive all the glory and the honor and the praise. We are honored to have you with us. Whenever you have something like a dedication meeting, you know, no matter what it's for, we think of a couple of things. And one of the things is immediately you think of rededicating ourselves. We think, what a great time, what a great weekend, just to kind of set everything aside and just, Lord, I want to rededicate my heart, my spirit to You and just be refreshed in the presence of the Lord. That's a good thing because life is tough. Life's difficult. Life's getting narrower. The path is getting narrower all the time. And it's just nice to step aside from the busyness of this life and say, you know what? Monday's going to be there on Monday, but today ain't Monday. So I'm going to enjoy this. I'm going to just... I come here because I want to hear from Him, and I want to hear the voice of God in my own heart. I don't know about you, but I've got specific prayer requests that are personal. Things I've told people, I'll let you know on Monday. Because I feel like God's going to speak to my heart this week, and that's how confident I am. And you ought to do that too. You ought to just come with your prayer request in your heart and say, Lord, I need an answer. I'm making a decision. I'm at a crossroads and I need a... You be specific and you watch how specific God can be. We're going to have our choir come and sing tonight. We don't want to prolong things tonight. So if our senior choir would come on now and get ready, we'll sing one chorus while they're coming. I worship You, all my... There is none like You. I worship You, O Prince of Peace. That is what I want to do, and I give. Hallelujah. That's all right. Welcome to the South. We like to sing here. We like to have church dinners and we like to sing. And we got good singers. Not that the North doesn't have good singers, but we have good singers and we love to sing. And I'll tell you what, we are just honored to be in His presence tonight. Honored to have you, as I said already. I'd like to say that tonight, I was just before service, I was at the hospital. Brother Troy Hughes is there. He's undergoing a CAT scan at the moment here, and he's had trouble with kidney stones for a long time and was very sick today. Was out cleaning up after the storm and almost passed out, so they took him to the hospital. And so we just want to remember our brother Troy. Also as well, just thought I'd throw this in, especially for our local folk, because today is Brother Tom Ward's birthday. Brother Tom, God bless you. Brother Tom's our head deacon and just been a blessing to our assembly, and we appreciate him very much. We're gonna cue a little special song here for you tonight, and this is a person who in our assembly we came to love and appreciate very much, Brother Luther Roy. And Brother Luther was a special person to all of us and was a part of our church for a long, long time, and passed away just this past year. And he was so excited about this fellowship hall that we went ahead and decided to name the fellowship after him. So it's the Luther E. Roy Memorial Fellowship Hall, and we're going to cut the ribbon and unveil a plaque on Sunday morning. And his wife will be here with us and some of his family, and so we're excited about that. And Brother Luther holds a special place in our hearts. So we thought we would just play a little special that he sang, because Brother Luther loved to sing. And we want to play just a little clip here so that you'll know Brother Luther.
God, blew across the earth, wind without form and foam. He blew across the Red Sea to provide a means of escape. Of a mighty rushing wind on the day of Pentecost, and He has breathed a fresh breath across our generation today. Oh, Jesus Christ, the same, the inner veil, faith is our victory. Deep calleth to the deep, our kinsman redeemer. As the eagle stirreth her nest, thy seed shall process the gate of the enemy. A paradox, God hiding Himself in simplicity. Oh, the breath of God blew across the earth when we a means of escape. Oh, He came at the sound of a mighty rushing wind on the day of Pentecost. Oh, and He has breathed a fresh breath across our
That's a real flashback for folks in our assembly. And we just have such fond memories of Brother Luther, and he just such a big part of our assembly, and brings back great memories. So we're going to ask you to stand tonight and give Brother Jason a few minutes to get ready to come. This is your house. Let's sing that tonight. After service, we have food in the fellowship hall. We have a little snack prepared for everybody, so you're certainly welcome to mingle afterwards. But, you know, I told the people that we don't want to miss the main thing. Is you got to keep the main thing the main thing. That's the main thing, Brother Holloway. That's the main thing. And so this is what we've come for, and I just trust that you'll just open your heart and your mind and just let the Lord speak to you. I'd like to say this evening, Sister Angie, it's good to have you here tonight. Just noticed you in the back row. God bless you, Sister Angie. Has gone through some health issues, and it's good to have her tonight. Let's sing it tonight. Oh, this is your house. Father, come and dwell. This is your house. This is your house. Come and dwell. We are your house. Yes, Jesus. Father, come and dwell. We are your. Father, we give you this time tonight, give you this place, give you our hearts, our minds, Lord. And as we open them to you tonight, we pray that thy holy presence would come and just take the speaker, Lord, take the words and, Lord, just anoint them mightily, I pray, and make the word personal in every heart. We love you and we thank you, Lord Jesus, and we just appreciate this gathering and the quality of the Spirit among the people already. Have your way, Lord, we pray now. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. And amen. We are your house. One time as Brother Jason comes tonight. We are your house. A holy house of prayer, where the lost and the lonely bring their burdens and their cares. Yes, Lord, we are your house, Lord. We are your and dwell.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You love the Lord? It's good to be in His house, and it is good to be His house. Praise the Lord. We greet you in the name of the Lord. Happy to see you all tonight. A lot of familiar faces. Amen. Brother George, good to see you. I see you got the memo, brown suit. Nice. You forgot the blue shirt, brother. So, amen. Praise the Lord. So we're happy to see all of the rest of you. Brother Paul, God bless you. Amen. Brother Aaron's here somewhere. Throw something at me, Brother Aaron. Wave at me. Where you at? Where? Oh, stand up, Brother Aaron. Yeah. No, stand up. Amen. Almost couldn't see him. Praise the Lord. Amen. But it wouldn't matter, Brother Aaron. You could have been standing right here and I'd have overlooked you. I ask people in my church. I do it all the time. Amen. Well, I'm really happy and privileged. I count it a great privilege to be here. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'd probably like to be sitting out there tonight. Amen. Pastors preach quite a bit, and so they take every chance they get to hear preaching. Amen. But I don't have to be the preacher tonight. He's the preacher. I just have to stand here and just be his assistant. Amen. And that's all I've ever wanted to be in my whole life. Amen. I'm going to invite you to Revelation chapter 3, verse 12 tonight. We're here kind of to spy out your liberty a little bit. We're going to build a fellowship hall ourselves. So we're here on an intel mission. My trustees sent me, said take lots of pictures, lots of video, and interview everybody. Amen. So we're going to figure out how to do it. If we're going to do it, we've got to do it exactly the same way that Brother Barry does it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Can't let a Canadian outdo me. I heard that stuff you were saying about being Southern. That's an amazing feat that y'all have turned him into a Southern gentleman. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I think I may have told this here one time before, but some time ago I was in Connecticut preaching, and just Yankees everywhere, wall to wall. And I was probably the only Southern boy in the place. And I just introduced myself. Not everybody knew who I was. I was preaching there for Brother Elijah Gibbs and Jason Watkins, Pastor Bethel Tabernacle, Beaufort, South Carolina. As soon as I said South Carolina, I saw it. You could feel it. Everybody was like. And I said, hey, say what you want to about the South, but nobody retires and moves up north. And that was the truth. And then they all had to admit it. And they did like you. They laughed and got a chuckle and broke the ice and was able to preach. Amen. Revelation chapter 3. And I've got a few places I want to read. So I'm going to read this one and then we're going to let you be seated. And we'll keep your Bibles ready because we'll go from here to Psalms and then from there to Matthew. Revelation chapter 3, verse 12. Him that overcometh, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Lord, we ask for the great blessing, Lord, from on high, that it would just pour out upon speaker and hearer. We know that your word is blessed of you at all times, but it's we who need your blessing. We need your anointing and your unction, Lord, and give the people hearing hearts. Lord, now I've just followed you out here, Lord. That's all I've done. That's all I wanted to do. And Lord, I just stand here now to assist you. And I pray now you take the word. This is your word, Lord. It's your people. It's your plan, your program. It's all about you, Lord. So we're here rejoicing, Father. We're asking humbly, we're asking that you give us that which we need in your word tonight. And it is the only source we are interested in drawing from is your word. Grant it, Master. We commit it to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you as you're seated and turn with me to Psalms 27. Psalms 27, we'll catch maybe the six verses there. 1 through 6. And let me just try and... Now, don't infer that because I'm reading three scriptures, I'm going to preach all night. I'm not a long preacher, but I like to... long-winded, but I do like to get it all my foundation correct so you won't get lost in the shuffle. You know that I just didn't invent this stuff out of my own head because you wouldn't even want to hear what I would invent out of my own head. Praise the Lord. But we want to look to the Word and see what God has to say about it. Psalms 27, verses 1 through 6. You'll be familiar, I'm sure, with this was Brother Branham's text from the rapture. Astounded my dad. My dad, who was listening, and my mom listening to that service. And my dad said he never in his mind imagined, no one did, that Brother Branham was going to preach on the rapture. He's not going to Thessalonians. He's not going to Revelation. He's not going to Matthew. He's going to Psalms 27. And my dad, what? Psalms 27. And but Brother Branham, you know, was going to reveal something that the world was largely unaware of. That this rapture was, that it was in three stages. And that it wasn't just a lightning strike event. That it was going to come and a shout and a voice and a trumpet. And it was going to be spread out. And God was going to, Christ was going to do all three. Shout, voice, trumpet while he's descending. And there was a great secret laying here about what the real the beginning cycle of the rapture. Remember that what culminates in your body change is a product of you living in this, what we're about to read. All right? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumble and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. Now, it ought to strike you that everything you're reading about here, if a host encamps, my heart won't fear, war may rise, I'm confident, enemies and foes come, they stumble and fall. I live in the temple, I live in the place, I dwell in the house of the Lord. And then he says, and in a time of trouble. Now, there's no trouble in heaven. So don't put all of this, someday my enemies will fall, and someday I won't be afraid, and someday I'll be confident. No, the secret of the rapture is that you can be right now completely confident, completely at rest, and living already in the house of the Lord. And fact is, the in the time of trouble is quite a harbinger that, listen friends, you're there. You're there right now. And so you really need to be in the secret of the rapture. Amen. All right, let's finish up. From the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now, see, right now, shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. I don't have any enemies over there. My head is lifted up above them now. Amen. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy right now. I will sing right now. Yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. I don't need to wait. I know a secret. I got a secret. And I'm in a place where the devil can't find me. Matthew chapter 7, real quick. Matthew chapter 7. And we'll catch a few verses in from 24 through 29. Matthew 7, 24 through 29. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Catch this last 29th verse. For he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. I want to speak tonight on the authority come down. Now, let me just move straight in because I've got a lot of ground to cover, but I'm going to go through it because I'm determined to get to some elements that are really strong on my heart.
But let me get my foundation built just real quick. So this word, it's amazing that this word that is used in the King James, and I'm not here to give you a lesson on the Greek and Aramaic. I wouldn't even be qualified to do that. But this word astonished, I can just tell you this, that it's in the Greek, it's a stronger word than what we might say to be amazed. Oh, wow, I was amazed. Wow, that was amazing. But these people weren't merely amazed, they were astonished. And as a result of this sermon that Jesus is preaching, the crowds who are following Jesus were astonished at his teaching. It literally means struck out, like knocked out. His teaching was so authoritative that they were literally struck out. They literally, another word, another synonym it uses is overwhelmed. They were, you know, to the point of being overwhelmed, as if they had been knocked out by his words that he spoke. You remember how when they sent temple guards to arrest Jesus, and they made the mistake of not arresting him before he started preaching. Once he started preaching, they couldn't bring themselves to arrest him, and they go back empty-handed. And the leaders say, "Where's he at? Well, we didn't arrest him." So, what do you mean we sent you to arrest him? But they said, "But never a man spake like this." You know, it was something about, the contrast between Jesus and the religious leaders of his day. It was a very pronounced contrast. And I would say to you tonight, it always is. There's always a very sharp contrast between the true Word of God for any hour and people who talk about the Word of God. But we realize that Paul never instructed Timothy just to preach about Christ. He said, preach Christ. A big difference between preaching Christ and preaching merely about Christ. And so they were observing that the teachers of his time were simply reflecting the authority. Now, they talked about it plenty, and they usurped it quite a bit. But to them, it was really a reflection of the law. They're really reflecting the authority of the law. But the authority of Jesus is what amazed the people, for he taught them as one who was a direct spokesman. That this isn't somebody who's just being reflective about a historical event. And we had Moses, and we had all of this, and we got a law, we've got a Torah, we've got a temple. But they weren't just, Jesus wasn't coming to preach about any of that stuff. Jesus was a whole new mindset for people to get to understand. And so he begins to, then not only is it in his preaching, but he begins to demonstrate his authority, because real godly authority does demonstrate itself. That's the very first thing Jesus did after his passion, was show himself alive. He wanted to demonstrate, I'm not dead. I know you heard I'm not, but I'm going to demonstrate that I'm not. I know you've heard people say it. I know you've heard people testify. They told you they saw me. But I am here to show everybody I am alive. So it's how the book of Acts opens. It's one of the very first things he does is to show himself alive after his suffering, after his passion, as your King James would say. So he begins to demonstrate his authority. He's performing very powerful miracles and casting out devils and raising the dead, never leaving a funeral with the dead dead. Every funeral that he ever encountered, the dead left living. Hallelujah. And many of the spiritually dead came to life, and many of the spiritually dead stayed dead and got more dead. Can you imagine getting more dead in the presence of life? Can you imagine that you would come into the presence of Almighty God and get more dead than you already are? I'm here to tell you something, friends. When you come to the house of God, you're coming to a dangerous place. Because truly, we have the Word of God, and you will either leave better, more alive, or you will leave worse, more dead. I just say, Lord, ever fill me with your life. Let me live, oh God. Let this service, let me gain some ground tonight. Hallelujah. So he proceeds to raise their dead and heal their sick and cast out devils, and his ministry had such an authority that it liberated captives from their bondage. I think that is one of the most profound things, that you can come into this world born in sin, and your very conception and the way you got here is all wrong, and you come with a death sentence upon you, and then you say, well, surely if I died physically and God raised me back physically, that would be a greater no. That's because even if you die and He raised you, you'll just die again. But if you have passed from spiritual death to spiritual life, you will never die. Jesus flatly said it, a man who believes on me will never see death. You believe that? Listen, it's either true or it's not true. Either he is being facetious or he is being for real. I just believe he was being for real. And so throughout the rest of the Gospels, especially Matthew, there's always this whole issue over authority. You know, whether it's direct or indirect, the issue of authority underlies every controversy Jesus had with the religious leaders. That should speak to you tonight. That every controversy that he had was all about authority. And it became pivotal to his entire conflict with them. So Brother Branham loves to talk the story about in Capernaum there, and the centurion. You remember the centurion who came, and you know, my servant lieth at home sick and grievously tormented, and Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. Lord, I'm not worthy. You know the story throughout of Matthew chapter 8. And now watch it go straight to authority. And he's, Lord, I'm not worthy. But he begins to talk about his position. I'm a man in authority. And I know what the COC is. I understand chain of command. And I have men under me, so I get it. I know who you are. And I get that all you have to do is speak, and everything under you has to obey. I don't need to go to issue an order. I can give it, send it in writing, and they better obey it. All you have to do is speak, and everything subject to you is subject to your order. I'm going to tell you something, friends. I don't need him to appear corporally here tonight. I need him to speak. I need him to issue an authoritative command. Go free. Be healed. Raise up. Hallelujah. That's all that's necessary. While the world is looking for his corporal coming, we understand that there's been a coming in his word. And that word is among us now in a very powerful way. And I don't really have time to chart the depths of that tonight at all. And I'm not really going in that direction. And if I do, I'll get sidetracked. But Brother Branham says in the authority of the word in 1953, he said, I know if I say to this man, he goeth, and to him he cometh. And Lord, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof, but just speak the word. There you are. Brother Rand says, the authority. He knew. Here's what that man knew. He knew that Jesus had all power over sickness and all disease, over death, hell. And he knew that all Jesus had to say was speak. Well, all Jesus had to do was speak the word. That settles it. Now watch, Brother Branham says, now Jesus was willing to come in and lay his hands on the boy and rebuke the fever, so it astonished him. Could you imagine astonishing the Lord? I would to God that my life or something I would do or say would astonish him. Oh, that God could say about you tonight, I've not seen that kind of faith before. Oh, I wanna have something to say, Lord, let the life of this bride around the world be such an astonishment to God that he'll just come on back and get us. Take us home. It astonished him. He said, why? I haven't seen so much faith, not in Israel. He says, see, that was the believers. He never seen such faith among them. Just to know. Now watch it. Here's what astonished Jesus. You want to know what astonished him? We all said a minute ago you'd like to astonish him. You want to know how? You know what astonishes him? Here it is. Just to know that his word, it was a power of testament, his power of authority, that this man, understood that. That this man knew who Jesus was. And that he had all power in heaven and earth. And that his authority was final. And it astonished Jesus tonight. I just said, Lord, look upon me because I sure believe your word is authoritative for my life. And I would suggest to us tonight, friends, that we need an authoritative voice in the world today. So much lying and deceit, and nobody takes responsibility for anything, and everything's politicized, and everybody's torn to pieces, and oh my goodness, and I'm not here to get on a political bandwagon. They're all going to go to hell if they don't repent. And the whole thing is full of nonsense, but just to try to get a man nominated to the court, and oh, he said and she said, and well, he said that she said, and somebody said that he saw that she said about something, they heard about something somebody said. And the whole thing became a merry-go-round and a circus, and the people that got hurt the worst were the victims who had already been affected by it on both sides. I just thought, my goodness, the world is just gone. It's crazy. It's insanity. If there ever was a time where we needed an authoritative word, what an hour we have arrived at, my friends. You see, the Bible speaks in Daniel 11 about how that Antichrist will come in, and he'll come in peaceably, and he will win the kingdom by flatteries. And he'll just lie and scheme and con and promise them everything. And the world is going to be duped by that. And don't imagine that, well, someday when the bride is gone, the Antichrist is going to come on the scene. The Antichrist is here now. And I'm not just talking about the Antichrist that John saw there in their day, and Peter and Paul and all of them saw in their day. I'm talking about the Antichrist in his final hour, in his final move, who knows he has but a little bit of time. And that spirit is here, and that spirit of Antichrist is here now in pre-tribulation. He's here in pre-tribulation to prepare the ground of men's minds. Men's hearts. He's preparing their hearts and minds to receive his leadership. Not just going to come on the scene and go, hey, I'm just in charge. Why are you in charge? But this man will have already established himself when Satan incarnates him. That's all that the Antichrist is waiting. He's waiting to incarnate that man, that false prophet. Just like he incarnated Judas, he will incarnate, but he cannot incarnate that pale horse rider who has been identified by a prophet. He's called death, hell follows him, but he can't begin his full ride because there's a hindrance, and it's you. Yeah. Hallelujah. And he can't begin that full ride because a bride is still here. Yeah. And he that letteth will let until he, Christ, in the bride, she, be taken out of the way. Hallelujah. I've never been so happy to be a thorn in his flesh. I've never been so happy to be a barrier to keep him from going forward. Hallelujah. He's here now trying to get you to sow his seed in your mind rather than the word seed. He's trying to get fathers and trying to get mothers and trying to get our children. You know, Brother Branham talked about here, and I'm not here to I'm a pastor, but I'm here to do a pastor's job at all. But you know, Brother Branham talks about even in the 1950s. I'm just giving you this for an example. Brother Branham talks about in the 1950s comic books, and he said that's so that the devil can give your children, can give them a blast. You know, they're reading all of that nonsense, and it's programming their minds. Now those little children are now big adults. And they're making the big decisions all over the world to this day. And you know as well as me, let's not fool ourselves. The comic books of the 50s were kindergarten compared to the day. That stuff's Cub Scouts, friends. It's nothing like that. I Love Susie, Boy Scouts. Well, the kind of stuff that they have today, a guttural filth that streams across our airwaves and is on our streets, and it's everywhere you go. You can't even get a clean breath. You can't go anywhere. I'm glad for a church. I'm glad for a fellowship. I'm glad for the Holy Ghost. I'm glad I can come into church two or three times a week and let the water of the Word just wash me and wash my mind. and recalibrate me and refocus me and reset. Hallelujah. He's here to muddy the water of the true Word of God. To muddy the waters to society, to churches, and you know, somehow. And don't imagine that he's afraid to try to muddy the water of the Word in message churches. Don't think he's afraid to try to muddy the water in message preachers. I'm here to tell you, he's not afraid to try that at all. He's here to target assemblies. He's here to target their leadership. You pray for your pastor. You pray for leadership. This is a dangerous hour. These are trying times. Times that are going to try the whole world, the Bible said, to try men's souls. Entire governments, peoples, and whole nations. Oh, there has to be an authority. I just kept thinking about that as I studied this, of all the lying and all the deceit and all the muddying of the waters and all the opinions and all the nonsense, and right is wrong, and what used to be right is now wrong, and what was always wrong is now right. Who can even find a clean place? I'm glad we got an authority in this hour that can open the Word and say, here is a clean place. And here is an accurate understanding of it. A single authority to declare right and wrong, a divine certainty. I need a divine certainty. I love you, I appreciate your opinion, but I need a divine certainty. Brother Branham says here in Laodicean Church Age, in the Church Age book. Now, this is just scratching the surface. This is describing the problem. So he says, okay, the Baptists have their creeds and dogmas based on the Word, and you can't shake them. And they say the apostolic days of miracles are over, and there is no baptism of the Holy Ghost subsequent to believing. Well, I'll go be a Methodist. Well, the Methodists say, based on the Word, there is no water baptism, sprinkling is not baptism, and that sanctification is the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Okay, well, forget Baptist Methodists. I'll go to Church of Christ. Church of Christ majors in regenerational baptism. And in all too many cases, they go down dry centers and come up wet ones. Okay, well, finally, you know, let's go with the Pentecostals. And Brother Barron says, Pentecostals, they'll sell out the Word for a sensation just about every time. The Word has been put aside. They all claim to be Word-based. They claim that their doctrine is Word-based. But though we realize that the Word has been put aside, and God says, I'm going against you all. I'm going against you all. Say, well, everybody but the message. Anybody against the message, God's against. Understand? Anybody against the Word. Anybody against the Word, God's against. Wouldn't he have to be? So when you come against his Word, he says, I'm going against you all. I will spew you out of my mouth. The Amen of God, faithful and true, will reveal himself, and it will be by my prophet. Revelation 10:7, he is sending a vindicated prophet. After almost 2,000 years. Think about that, friends. Almost 2,000 years, he is sending someone who is so far from organization, education, and the world of religion. He will have, thus saith the Lord, as it is declared in Malachi 4, will turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. He will bring back the elect of the last day, give the exact truth as it was with Paul. He will restore the truth that as they had it. Those elect with him in that day will be the ones who truly manifest the Lord. They'll be his body and be his voice and perform his works. Until in this last day, there is again another people in the land who under their messenger will be the final voice to the final age. So in this time of pre-tribulation judgment, if we would call it that, in this time of Satan's This is a time of extremism, where everything is extreme. And Satan has an extreme hatred of God's Word in pre-tribulation time. It has reached a point like never before. Brother Branham talks about, I don't have it here before me tonight, I just read it to my church recently, that this is the worst time, many times worse. Our young people have it many times worse than we had. This is the worst time it's ever been in all the ages. It's all the accumulation of all the ages of the white horse and the red horse and the black horse and coming down all combined in the pale horse. And we realize that power of Antichrist now, he has every level of society under his control to the degree that he's called the God. And Brother Branham points that out in the scripture that there's no other age he was ever called that. He's now the God of this evil age. His hatred of God's Word, his hatred of God's redeemed family, it has surpassed all previous times. Satan's hatred and defiance of everything we stand for has surpassed all previous times. I said to my young people, whatever you do, don't let this lying deceiver deceive you into thinking he's your friend. He hates you. He hates your parents. He hates your pastor. He hates the prophet God sent. He hated Jesus. He hated Moses. He hated Abraham. He hated Adam. He hated God. He has always hated God, and now he hates God's family. He hates everything that's right. He hates everything we stand for. And he's coming against it in unprecedented ways in controlling of school, of education, and politics. I've said to people before, you know, name a subject, any subject, it doesn't matter. Pick one. Pick a card, any card. You want to talk about politics? You want to talk about social fabric of the nation? You want to talk about education? You want to talk about science? You want to talk about the earth? You want to talk about... Let's talk about it. Because I can show you by prophecy that no matter what category you pick, it is the end time. We are at the end of the end time. This is it. Mankind has lived out his usefulness and the earth is ready to renew itself. Hallelujah! And there's coming a new world with a new king and a new law and new righteousness. There has to be in this age when he's in control of absolutely everything that you encounter in Laodicea. He's controlling. He controls economics. He controls educational institutions. He controls politics. He controls churches. He controls pulpits. Listen, friends, he controls media. He controls social issues. He controls wars. He controls everything. There has to be an authority to check him. There has to be. God would not come down here to the end and not have an authority in the earth to say, hold on, buddy. Hold on. Because there's a greater power than you. And that power has put an authority in a people. Hallelujah. There has to be a sure authority to deal with this lawless one. This one who refuses to obey God's word and who violates every divine right purchased and earned by the blood of Jesus at Calvary. Satan is here to try to deny you your rights. I tell you something, friends, you need to rise up and say, I claim my rights and I will not be denied them. He's taken away the right. He's taken away the ability. The one of the greatest abilities that man had left, one of the last things, was the ability to discern between right and wrong. But the Bible prophesies that at the very end, he even loses the ability to discern between right and wrong. And he looks at something that's obviously wrong by every measurable standard, by history, by nature, by the word, by example, and he calls it right. And he can look at something that is overwhelmingly proven to be right by nature, by the word, by example, by history, by power, by demonstration, and he calls it wrong. He has taken man's ability. There's got to be somebody. There's got to be some way. He can't just have the earth. God has got a people. God has sent a word, and it's an authoritative word. And there's a people who said, I am a believer of that word. He violates every right that Calvary earned. All the rights of Calvary. My son today called me, my young son Chris, had been very sick, suffering. He's got something had been going on in his intestines and stomach, just misery, probably last half a year. And just suffering and just trying to believe the Lord. And finally today, he called me on the phone. He was so excited. He called me out of town and said, Dad, I got to tell you. He said, I was on the job, Brother Travis. Brother Travis, you all know Brother Dale Smith. That's his son-in-law. And they were working together, both HVAC mechanics. And they're working. I don't know who was helping who. And Chris was just suffering so bad. And he finally said, Travis, he said, come outside, brother. He said, I'm done. He said, I'm finished with this devil bothering me. He said, I don't have to put up with it. Jesus can heal me right now. And I just want you to put your hands on me and let's believe God. And those brothers locked arm and in the name of Jesus Christ called on the authority of the Word of God. And he said, not in 5 minutes, not in 3 minutes, but immediately. Instantly it was gone, and he said, I haven't felt this good in years. I'm here to tell you something, friend. Jesus purchased rights, and you can have them tonight. And you cannot be denied if you'll put your faith in an authoritative word in this hour. And you can say, just speak the word, Lord. My servant shall be made whole. Hallelujah. Jesus on the authority of the word, 1954. He says we're going to speak a few moments on the authority of God's word. Now, every word, I'm glad he said it that way. Every word of God is a written, sworn authority. It's the absolute right of the believer to accept this as the infallible truth because it's God's word. Those rights are given to God's family. For his family to stand up and say, here's my rights. This is what was purchased. The devil is infringing upon my rights. He has no right. I have every right. Jesus purchased rights for me, and I don't live by the grace of Lucifer. I live by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm coming tonight to claim it. There has to be a claim. There has to be a faith. There has to be a word spoken. There has to be a determination in the mind to believe it. And this one who violates all these rights, say, oh, but he's the God of this age. But there's an enforcer here. Amen. Brother Branham said the Holy Ghost. How many believe you have the Holy Ghost? Amen. The Holy Ghost is the enforcer of God's word. There is an enforcer of God's word to deal with this trespasser. If you've got a trespasser tonight and he's got you bound in a terrible habit or got your body in a sickness or got you in a financial crunch or you need the Holy Ghost, I'm here to tell you there's an enforcer who will beat him back and allow you to come forward into every redemptive blessing that God has. And it's not just all happening from heaven. God has tabernacled into his church. We are your house, Lord. We were singing about it. Brother Branham says, his presence. He comes to the end of that same sermon, that 1954. Jesus on the authority of the word. His presence being here now. Watch what he says. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, I take every spirit in this building under my jurisdiction. Actually says Jewish diction. His way of saying jurisdiction. I thought, yeah, Jewish diction. I told my church, I said, you know, the whole world hates Jews, but Jews are going to rule the world. Spiritual, Jews are going to rule the world. How many are the seed of Abraham? So there is a jurisdiction. There is a jurisdiction. He said, I take them under every spirit in this building under my jurisdiction. So now, when we talk about, you know, the bride, and she's the final voice to the final age, and we realize that, you know, there's so much could be said about that tonight, and I've preached on it, and I'm not trying to get sidetracked again tonight, but, you know, I do believe, certainly I do believe that the bride is a prophetical class of people, and I do believe that she prophesies again. I certainly believe that. And of course we know that the spirit of prophecy, that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And that's why Brother Branham would say, you know, the Elijah of this day is the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Branham trying to indicate, you know, not that he wasn't the one fulfilling that office, but he was indicating it's not me doing it. You understand? I'm holding an office, but it's not me. He's saying I don't even get to decide who gets healed. See, I don't even get to decide. You don't get to decide anything as the bride of Christ. And it's amazing that Brother Brandon would make a statement. The bride knows what he wants done with his word. See? And so you say, well, what does that even mean? How am I supposed to know what he wants done with his word? You really can't. Because you're a human. He's God. The only way that you can know what he wants done with his word is he's thinking in you. It's his thoughts thinking through your thoughts. It's his life living through your life. It's not about you deciding anything. It's about you humbling yourself to the presence of God in your life. Amen? And so we certainly see that the bride of Christ, that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. But you know, that's different than the authoritative, thus saith the Lord of a major prophet. Amen? Let me say it again. That's different than the authoritative voice of thus saith the Lord. Excuse me. In a prophet. Because a prophet, he's a dispensational angel. He's a dispensational messenger. And so we realize that the amen of the word came down to us through the ministry of that seventh star that was in the right hand of him. Do we still believe that in 2018? You haven't let Laodicea or message defectors water that down in your mind, have you? Don't water that down, friends. God did something far too great for you to let it be watered down. God sent an authoritative word in this day. And this perfectly types, of course, because when we talk about authority, and you see it in various places of the Scripture. We can talk about Revelation. We talked the quote we read, the final voice to the final age. But remember, she's the final voice to the final age under her messenger. All right? Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. So they're speaking in one unified voice. See? The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Interestingly enough, that is portrayed so beautifully in the book of Esther, because first of all, you find historically when you do the math, and even Old Testament commentators agree, is that when you have Nehemiah coming, and Nehemiah is now headed back at the time of the Feast of Tabernacles, and because that's what a beautiful type of where we are right now. The gospel getting ready to go back to the Jews, and they're getting ready to restore it. And so we find they're getting ready to receive this very Holy Ghost, this very word that you and I have believed. And that's the very time that they come to the king. And when Nehemiah is asking for permission, the king grants the permission, and the Bible says, and the queen with him. And that's Esther. Because you don't hear her speaking, because there's nowhere else in the Bible where it says, and the queen with him. That's just one little bit. He's like, why did that go in there? Because it's demonstrating to you and I that the Spirit and the Bride have been invisibly united, and they are speaking in the same voice. Hallelujah! And what the king, and if you doubt that, then go to Esther chapter 9, because the only time in the entire Old Testament that the word authority is used only once, and that is in Esther 9. Now, Solomon uses it one time, I think, in the Proverbs, but it's not authority in the sense that of a delegated authority. It just simply means majority. You remember when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice? It's just simply saying when the righteous are in majority. When the righteous are not in majority, then the people moan. You understand? So that's not even the same meaning. The only time in the entire Old Testament, 4,000 years of church history, the only time the word authority as delegated authority is used is in Esther chapter 9. Then Esther, the queen, the daughter of Abihail, and Mordecai the Jew, wrote with all authority to confirm the second letter of Purim. And here you go, my brother, my sister. You've got a queen in the Old Testament, and she's writing in full authority because she has the full delegated authority of the king alive in her, and her word is the same as his word. See? We talk about the whole idea of Brother Branham saying, you know, she is him. Well, of course, but bear in mind, you're not Jesus. I mean, if she's literally him, then the deity camp's right and Brother Branham was Jesus Christ. Which he's not, you understand? He's not Jesus. He Christ worked through him. You understand? So she is him. I'm not literally him. You're not actually him. You're, according to the commission, is Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday. You're not actually him. You're the same as him. That's why Luke 17, oh my, is the ministry of the Son of Man. It's the Word made flesh again in the lives of the people. She is Him. She is the same as Him. Hallelujah. He said Jeremiah was Christ, Moses was Christ. They weren't Jesus. They were the same as Him. Operating under His full authority. And that's the authority that is in this bride today. She doesn't do his job. She's here to do her job. Hallelujah. She's not the lamb. He's the lamb. She's the lamb's wife. But he has her here in full vested authority to be a resistance to the devil, to be a resistance in our homes, to be a resistance in these churches. Hallelujah. Who wants to be a resistance fighter tonight? So I'm joining the resistance tonight. I will not bow down to this deceiving age. Feast of Trumpets. In the last days now. In the last days. We find in the scripture, in Malachi 4, that there is to be an anointing come down and to restore again that original faith. And to bring the faith of the people back to the original Pentecost, the faith of the fathers. Now, when we find that in the New Testament, Jesus comes to a parable in Luke 19. And you're familiar with it from probably your Sunday school days. And here's a king going to go off and he's going to leave three guys. And he's going to give them an investment. And here's something for me. I'm going to give it to you. And I'm going to go away, and when I come back, I'll see what you've done with my investment that I've placed in your care. And he goes away, and he comes back, and one guy comes and says, I've earned 10 times. He said, then you'll rule 10 cities. And the next guy, I've made it, I've 5 times over what you gave me. Good. My good and faithful servant, you will rule over 5 cities. And then he comes to the next guy. I knew, Lord, you're an austere man. And I just put it in the ground. And hey, here's it back. I didn't lose any of it. And the king says, basically, oh, well, I didn't give it to you to bury. I didn't meet you at an altar and save you from your sin and give you the Holy Ghost and just say, okay, see you in heaven. I invested my word in you. That's why Brother Branham says, the bride knows what he wants done with his word. Listen, friends, it's not a mystery under the seventh seal. It's plain. He wants it to multiply. What does he want done with his word? Multiply. He wants it to multiply in your lives. He wants it to take over your mind, take over your thoughts, take over your goals, take over your dreams, take over all your ambitions, so that you are him multiplied. He didn't bring this message with authority to give you more intellectual doctrine, intellectual theology, more than the Baptists, the Methodists, or the Pentecostals. This thing is a living word. It's not doctrine. It's a life that comes down inside of us. Hallelujah. He wants it in our hearts, in our minds. He wants to take over your thinking. Take over your actions, because if he takes over your thinking, he'll take over your actions. Take over all your goals. Take over all your plans. What are your plans? What are your goals? What should they be? See, she knows what he wants done with his word. It was never going to be you figuring it out. It was never about that. Even Jesus didn't do that. Jesus says the Son does nothing but what he sees the Father do, and that doeth the Son likewise. So it was never going to be me having to figure it out. It was never going to be you studying or praying, Lord, what do you want done with your word? The Bible tells you what he wants done with his word. He's invested in you. He wants it to multiply. He wants it to come and bring a crop. And this is, now this goes back to our secret pavilion. This goes back to where we read in Psalms 27, this secret pavilion where he hides me in time of trouble. See? So now let me just make a couple comments here. All right, you still got a few minutes? So he hides me in time of trouble. Okay. First of all, it's not as general as it might sound, because trouble is synonymous with being in the world. If you're alive, you got trouble. See? Job said a man is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Jesus said in St. John 16:33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So it's not just, you know, it is a great promise that in time of any kind of a trouble, that he hides me in this secret place. And that's literally, I don't think I covered that, but that's literally, let me go back and give you a quick breakdown on that. That the whole idea of hiding is a shelter, and it's a hiding place, and it's a refuge. It's just like in, now that's Psalms 27. In Psalms 31, he says it like this: thou shalt hide me in the secret of thy presence. And then he goes on talking about his pavilion. So just amplifying it. So we find then that there's a couple of things that are notable. First of all, it's a real place. And Brother Branham, I can tell you, it was not just a metaphor when Brother Branham said, you can go so deep into Christ, Satan can't even find you. It wasn't hyperbole when Brother Branham said that there's enough power in every one of you to create a world and go live on it. You understand? But of course it works by laws, and God, and we're not here to talk about laws of faith and God anointing your faith. But you know something, friends? I don't really need to go create me a planet, you know, off world and go live there all by myself. I create a planet called Planet Jesus, and I can go live there tonight. And I can wake up there tomorrow. And we say you're in the world. I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. I've already moved on. I'm already in another place. I'm in a pavilion. I'm in a hiding place. I've got a secret. I got a secret the devil can't figure out. He don't know where I go. Where do you go? I come to tempt you and I couldn't find you. Where do you go? Hallelujah. Where do you go, friends? Where are you looking to go? Are you looking to come to church as just a social gathering? This is just your duty, and then it's back to the salt mine. Nothing doing, friends. I want to live in Jesus Christ. I want my whole life. I want to live in that realm where God lives, where His mind is, where His peace is. It's a secret dwelling place. And it's promised to me in a time of trouble. Now, not just general trouble, but it's actually a specific time of trouble. Because, Brother Branham, and this is what's amazing, no one else knew that. I can't find another one. And I read commentators all the way back into the first and second century galore. I can't find anybody ever suggesting that Psalms 27 was a secret to the rapture. Pow! Boom! I mean, like, what? But it took a prophet. It took an authoritative voice to say, don't be looking for a conveyor to come down out of the sky and roll out a red carpet and Jesus take us all home. The rapture is a secret. Hallelujah! And you can move into it tonight. Hallelujah! You can live there every day of your life. He'll hide me in the time of trouble. And if Brother Branham has liked it to the rapture, then the time of trouble has to be synonymous and connected to Jacob's trouble. Which Jesus, say, how bad is it? Well, the first half of it, murdered the Son of God. That's pretty bad. What will the second half of it be? The Bible says, see, we're not talking now about Job saying, life is full of trouble. We're not talking about Jesus saying, you'll have trouble in the world. You have tribulation. What we're talking about is Matthew 24. For then shall be great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And at that time, He'll hide me. There'll be a secret place that I can go live in. And when my enemies, which now at this point is pretty much everything under the control of Lucifer. See, not people, but the Antichrist spirit. We're here, sheep among wolves. We're trying to rescue as many people as we can. You understand? But the order of the world, this is not. I heard Brother Aaron preaching in Lima recently. So bless me. Talking about how that God, you know, God loved the world. But God didn't love this world. Not this order. God loved the world He built. Love the world He created, not what man has turned it into. Oh, my goodness, friends, I just say, you can have this world, I'll take the next one. Oh, you can have the whole world, just give me Jesus. Hallelujah. Let me have Him in my life. Let me have Him in my thoughts. Let me have Him in my daily plan. There shall be a tribulation such as was not since the beginning of time. And as clouds gather, and the rain begins to set in, and you know how that we've had recent storms, and you know for us in South Carolina it's a common thing. Whether you ever have them come ashore, they go by us all the time in the hurricane season, which is the whole second half of the year, just about. And people say, what do you do about all those storms? I said, we just pray them away. They said, no, what do you do for real? I said, yeah, for real, we just pray them away. So, what does that mean? What do you think it means? We just pray them away. You mean so they don't come? No, they don't come. They come. They don't hit us. We just pray them away. 23 years. We just pray them away. Even if we get glancing blows. I mean, we showed a video on the last one. What was it? A couple, two, 3 years ago. I forget now the name of them. We've had so many that come through and come around. And a lot of them you never hear about here because they don't even come ashore. We prayed them away for you. And so, amen. And so, have you taken up an offering yet? And you always get outer bands. And as that storm is coming, you might not be in the whole storm yet. But those outer bands start coming in. Wind starts picking up. Rain starts coming in. I'm going to tell you something, friends. You might not be in the full-blown tribulation, but outer bands are upon us. I'm here to tell you, outer bands, winds of change, rain and storm of tribulation like the world has never seen. Don't be caught asleep at the switch. Don't be fooled. Don't be naive. Don't think it'll all be okay. It can be okay as long as you take a hold of the authoritative word in this hour and enforce it to be okay. Say, what should I do in my home? Enforce the word. How do I enforce it? Enforce it through prayer. Call on the name of the Lord. What will happen? He'll hear you if you believe Him. And if you ask Him and you believe Him and you don't doubt it, He'll do it. Listen, friends, that's not Disney. That's not somewhere over a rainbow. That's right now. God is a right now God who's here ready to hear your prayer and ready to see if you believe it. And He will perform it. Don't you doubt that. Don't you worry about God's business. You do your business and you pray and you believe when you pray. And the clouds are gathering and the bands are coming and there's got to be an authority to direct my steps. Brother Paul, there's got to be. There's got to be an authority to direct our homes. There's got to be an authority to direct our assemblies. There's got to be an authority as judgment winds build. And the enemy, oh my, I thought to myself, when judgment, you know, the Bible says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard. Do you know, Brother Branham said, the standard is you raising yourself up in prayer. Oh God, save me. And God is simply saying, save us. God save me. No, you save us. How am I going to save me and you, Lord? You're going to save you by believing your word. And then I'll perform it. And then everybody, then I'll get the glory. And everybody will see that I'm a real God. And that you're my real son. And that there's an authority in the word that's effective. That we're not just saying it. It's not a pipe dream. It's for real. I just thought when the enemy comes in like a flood, Brother Barry, I got a secret. I got a secret. When the enemy comes in like a flood, I have a secret. Let the winds rage. The promise that we opened with about the overcomer. You realize, friends, that to him that overcometh. Now, Brother Branham talks about, and this is my last point. So Brother Branham talks about in every age, it was a promise to an overcomer. And every age was a little different than what it promised. So this is the last of the promise of the overcomer from the Philadelphian age. And it laps in, and Brother Branham even said, talks about how the Laodicea, just a short age, the shortest of all, and it comes quickly, and the sixth age almost could be, in some regards, almost like an extension into the seventh age. Because when you get to the promise of the overcomer in the seventh age, Brother Branham says, that's the great gathering. Where we all gather around Father's throne. It's all over at that time, friends. But this is the last promise of the overcomer. That this is what we are producing to get the final overcomer. Because remember, as an overcomer, you get the promise of every overcomer of every age. And then they without us cannot be made perfect. And so the dead in Christ shall rise. We which are alive shall be changed. And then we're all headed and we're all overcomers and we're all gathered around Father's throne. Brother, so that's the great gathering. That's the great overcoming. So we see then that what is the last thing that it's saying on this side? Him that overcometh, will I make a pillar? Here we are again in the temple of my God. You know, a pillar in the temple of my God, he shall no more go out. What an understatement. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, cometh down out of God. And I'll write upon him my new name. You understand, a pillar? You don't take a pillar out. You take a pillar, it's on the foundation. It's holding up the building. God has made himself that vulnerable that you are the pillars holding up his tabernacle. What confidence must he have in you? And I say, I'm not a very much of a Christian. You're a pillar in the temple of God. You have been given the name of the new city. And when John was told, come, I'll show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife, he saw the city. And you'll be given the name of my God. Of course you would be, Mrs. Jesus. You understand? Of course you would be, Mrs. Jesus. Of course you would be. God would look at you and he would describe you as a bejeweled city glistening, beautiful walls of jasper, gates of pearl, streets of gold. God is describing you. Remember how Solomon, he begins to describe her. And then the Shunammite, she's describing Solomon in all this colorful language. God is describing you. This is what he thinks about you. You say, now listen, Brother Jason, yeah, I just have to be honest. I don't really feel a whole lot like an overcomer. There's a whole lot I don't overcome. Well, welcome to the family of God. Welcome to the land of the redeemed. Thank God when we do sin, when we transgress, we have an advocate with the Father. You understand, friends, the way Brother Branham taught us this, and I don't have time to go into all the quotes tonight. The way Brother Branham taught us, of course we live above sin. Of course we put aside the things of the world. But the Holy Ghost takes care of that. That's not some struggle you've got. When you're born again of the Spirit of God, you don't crave things of the world anymore. And if your body gets caught in a trap, that inner man is so regretful of that, he immediately goes to prayer and repents. It proves that the real you didn't want to do that in the first place. Listen, friends, there's an atoning blood for your mistakes. Overcoming is not about perfection in the flesh. Brother Branham shows us that what you overcame was the deception of the age. Hallelujah, that when everything was a gross lie, when the religious tables were filled with vomit, when there was no clean place, God sent an authoritative word down in the earth and you said, I'm a believer. I believe it. I read it. I believe it. I want it. I eat it. I possess it. You are an overcomer is not an accomplishment. An overcomer is a promise. You are already promised. You are an overcomer. Not you will be, you already are. I have believed the word that he sent to me in this hour. Lord, how can we do the works of God? Here's the works, to believe on him whom God hath sent. I'm an overcomer. I am a believer of what God has sent in this day. See? Faith. So Brother Branham says in Jehovah Jireh, he says, Mary, when the angel met her, she didn't doubt God. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And never was there anything like that done before. But she didn't question. There's never been a global bride body changed before. But I don't question it. See? I just say, be it unto me. And so she didn't reason it. She just took God at His word and went along rejoicing, telling people she was going to have a baby, knowing no man. When had that never been done before? When that had never been done before? He says, oh, wouldn't it be fine if all the Marys in here tonight would take that kind of an attitude? Wouldn't it be wonderful if all the people could take that attitude? Don't question. If God says that settles it, that's all that settles it. If God said so, that makes it right. He's the final voice on all authority. He has all the authority of everything. God has the supreme authority. So overcoming is not some accomplishment. Overcoming is a promise. Overcoming is a promise God made you. And if you believe the word, then you have to believe I'm an overcomer. Say, but what about my sins? They don't even count. There is now therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. I've already passed from death to life. Paul said, who can accuse me? Who can condemn me? I'm not the one who died. Jesus died for me. Hallelujah, I have an atonement. The blood is perpetually speaking for me. Hallelujah, all my sins, past, present, and future, are under the blood, and I'm marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. I am an overcomer of the deceiving age that we live in. Hallelujah. I overcame the deception. There is such a, to me, there is such a settled, confirmed security to it all. Because you're so aware that it isn't you holding you. Come on, friends, own that. You know that's true. There's not one of us in here tonight that would say, I'm the one holding on to me. there's something keeps holding me. Something is holding me. Is that holding you tonight? Something is holding me. I know it's not me. There's something beyond me that's holding me. And all I can do is just say, yay, Lord. Yes, Lord. I believe it, Lord. And just keep walking and just keep walking. One day, according to the promise of the Word, you'll walk into a new dimension. Hallelujah. Walk out of this world and walk into a new one. Hallelujah. Walk into a place where our dead loved ones are in front of us now. And walk into a place where you're back into a young body again. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. I look so forward to that. I believe there are overcomers among us. Why don't you stand with me? Let me have my musicians come back. You know, friends, we talk about trouble in the world. You know, we don't just have mere trouble. I remember seeing an interview of a fire captain on all of these wildfires that are constantly burning. You see them in the news every time, all through the year. And I wondered, wow, do these fires ever go out? And he said, no. They used to. They had what was called a fire season. He said, we ain't had that in the last number of years. And they said, well, global warming, well, whatever, you know, whatever. But he said, we don't have a season anymore. He said, we never get them all put out. We're always fighting wildfires. They're always raging. And we barely get one out and two are starting. And we barely have those half contained and another one is starting. And so he said, this has become the norm. You think that's an accident, friends? It was never for hundreds and hundreds of years. And suddenly, they're coming like that. We've always had flooding. We have such epic flooding. We have tsunamis and earthquakes and the world shaking apart. Right. I know there's always been wars and rumors of wars. I know there's always been earthquakes in diverse places. But I'm here to tell you that the Bible says there's coming a time on the earth like has never been. And will never be again, thank God. Thank God I don't ever have to come back here and do this again. Thank God, when it's over, friends. Glory, hallelujah. We don't have mere flooding. We have epic flooding. We have epic tsunamis. And when the enemy comes in like a tsunami, there's got to be a standard. There's got to be a barrier. There's got to be somebody with the secret. There's got to be somebody who raises up into His presence. Hallelujah. I want to be that person. When the enemy comes in, there's got to be an authority to call him out as a trespasser. When he comes into our homes, when he comes in to rob you of your children, when he comes into assemblies and churches, there's got to be an authority. I'll assure you, God saw to it that there is an authority here in the world. Don't be afraid. Whatever you do, this is not a time to be afraid. This is time to march forward. Brother Branham said, apply your token with confidence. With confidence. Oh, my. I heard Brother Jaron singing, Our God Reigns. Man, it was rattling the walls back there. I want to sing some more of that tonight. It was you singing it. Hey, Jaron. Yeah, Our God Reigns. Are you welcome to sing it, buddy? Amen. I want to sing it. I want you to sing it twice as loud as you were singing it the first time. Because listen, friends. I got an announcement. You ready? Our God reigns.
Yeah.
For real. Yeah. No kidding. Our God reigns. And He always is going to. He's not going to be deposed or dethroned or impeached. He reigns. And I believe, friends, that tonight, that's the kind of presence that we need in our lives. Why don't you bow your heads with me just before we sing all over the building? All heads bowed now. Just be honest before God. I hope tonight that I've encouraged you to look beyond your fears. Encourage you to look beyond your failures. I'm here to tell you something, friends. Your failures are not going to stop God. They're not going to stop Him. God made a promise in David, and it didn't matter all the failures David ever committed. None of that stopped the Messiah from coming as the Son of David. It's not going to stop. God promised there would be overcomers in this age who would be pillars in His temple. And the overcoming, the authority to overcome, to be declared an overcomer, is that you have believed the word that was sent in this hour. And you have not believed the lying deception. You have overcome the great lie. You've overcome the deception of man-made religion.
Yes, Lord.
You ought to rejoice tonight. Why don't you raise up your hands all over the building and just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this message. Thank you, Lord, for the revelation of this hour. Let my faith rise, oh God. Let it rise to believe every word is applied to me. Every word can be lived out through me. Don't leave this place tonight, friends, and let the devil hold anything over your life. Don't leave here. You got a habit? Leave it here tonight. You got a weakness? Leave it here tonight. You can be victorious. Calvary purchased everything for you. You do not have to be defeated. You can be victorious. I'm going to pray for you. You want me to pray for you? Raise up your hands. I'll pray for you. All over the building, let's pray for one another. Master, we're asking you right now, Lord God, let us see. Let us come to terms with this authoritative word. This authority come down in this age. You haven't left us, Lord, without an authority, without a word, without a sure word. We can know what's right. We can know what's wrong. We can know to go forward. We can know which way's up, which way's down. The world stumbling, groping in gross darkness upon the world and upon the people. But light has sprung up in your family, Lord. I got a secret, Father. I got a secret the devil don't know about. He can't find me. The world can't corrupt me there. I don't want to live there, Lord. I want to live in the secret place. Hide me in the refuge of your presence. Grant it, Lord God. Grant it, Lord God. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns.
Oh, yes.
Brought him down, and when we what you call a sermon for the bride. That's bride food.
Yes, sir. Let's sing.
I feel good. I don't know about you. Let's sing a little fast. I'm in that number. Let's sing that tonight. Do you believe you're in that number?
Yeah.
Let's sing it tonight.
I'm in that number.
I'm in that number. I'm in that number.
I'm in that number.
Let's sing it in the key of F here. I go to the rock.
Shelter when I need a friend.
All excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Oh, get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. We're gonna get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Oh, Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings. All excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Gonna get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ is still King of Kings.
There's so many good things that were said tonight. I'll tell you what, but I got to say one thing. The very fact that you're here, we're still here, and still singing the victory, is proof of the devil's limitations. He can't get you. He can't destroy you. He can't wipe us off the face of the earth. With all of the attempts and all the efforts and everything else, it's like the resistance movements. When an invading army comes in, they try very hard to get those resistance movements that spring up. And the very fact that they can't proves the limitation of the invader. Because all of a sudden there's a resistance movement pops up here and pops up here and pops up here. And they may not do a lot of damage, but they represent something. They represent a resistance against this power that operates by fear and intimidation. And you know what? If they concentrate over here, they pop up over here, and they pop up over here. And they are evidence that this invading power has limitations. And look, you may not think you accomplish a whole lot. You may not think you do a whole lot of, you know, great things for the kingdom, and you don't sing a special and all the rest of it. But listen, the very fact that you're here and believing and trusting God and singing like you mean it tonight, the very fact that you're doing that proves that this invading power in this world has limitations. He can't get you. And he might concentrate on this for a while, and all of a sudden we pop up over here, have another meeting over here, have another meeting over here, and then a year later we're still singing, and then 5 years later we're still singing, and then 10 years later we're still singing, and then a few more years later we're gone. Because he couldn't stop us. You are the resistance movement of the hour. We're outnumbered. Hey, this world is full of unbelief and full of unbelievers. We're outnumbered, right? But we're still around. And you know what? Nothing's going to change that. Because he's already made a determination. It isn't your discipline or your knowledge. It's he's already decided. Sing it now with me tonight.
Thank you. sing it again one more time. Just worship Him now. Make it your prayer tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise. Let's sing that together. We're going to dismiss you. A lot of you have traveled a long way today, and we have food prepared for you. We'll move right on out into the fellowship hall tonight and just enjoy the atmosphere out there. And we want everybody to participate and everybody to enjoy this little time together. And we appreciate you coming. Brother George is just back from South Africa, and we appreciate Brother George coming by, and Brother Holloway, and just each and every one. May God bless you. We're honored to have all of you here. Tomorrow morning service at 10 o'clock, and so we want you to come refreshed, prepared. Hey, look, folks, that's just the first service. Feel nervous? That's just the first service. This is, we've moved into some kind of a slot or a channel among the bride. Just moved into a higher order of things, just a higher way of thinking. And you know what? It isn't us. It's not that all of a sudden we got it. It's Him. It's His presence that makes the difference. So we're going to sing this tonight. Brother Mark, would you come? And we're going to ask him to dismiss in a word of prayer and pray over our refreshments in the fellowship hall. And just take a little time. Come a little bit early tomorrow morning. 10 o'clock is our service. And just come expecting. And just, I'll tell you what you do. Just come with the attitude you're going to give the Lord the whole day. Just give Him the whole day. And Lord, I just want to be in fellowship. And I want to be in prayer. I want to be blessed. I want to get answers. Got two wonderful men of God that are going to speak tomorrow. And I'm just excited. I'm glad I'm here. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else in the world tonight. Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise. For it was grace that brought my all my fault.
Heavenly Father, Lord, what a grateful, what an opportunity, Lord. How could I have missed it, Lord? I'm so glad I didn't. Lord, you never know when the right meal will be given to the little bride. And Lord, I believe it was so timely tonight. Father, I believe it was so needed. And Lord Jesus, your little bride, you promised never to forsake her, never to leave her, Lord. And I believe you kept your word tonight. You gathered with her.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, and from my heart, Lord, it just burns within me. Knowing that I sit here tonight with a portion of the bride. Knowing, Lord, that I've had the honor and the privilege, Lord, to hear you speak to us tonight. Oh, God, it could be compared to no other thing in this earth. How grateful we are. We want to thank you, Lord, for stopping by. We want to thank you, Lord, for speaking to us. We want to thank you for the blessing of the word. Oh, God, I pray you'd be with the church this weekend as they continue their ministries, Lord, as each one comes, Lord, and adds word upon word. Father, I just pray that each one that comes with their heart prepared, Lord, and asking you. I see tonight, Lord, how you met my needs, how you met the needs of the people. Then I know, Lord, this weekend can be truly a blessing to each one. Father, we love you. As each one leaves here now, Lord, and goes on the road, I pray for traveling mercies, Lord. Father, Lord, the food has been prepared for the people tonight. God, we just ask you to bless it and to sanctify it, Lord. Lord, as we fellowship, Lord, may the fellowship be holy and righteous around your word. And may we just draw strength one from another. Father, we love you. We give you all praise and glory and honor tonight. And we just so thank you again, Father, for the opportunity. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Bless you tonight. Sing this as you go.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given us Jesus Christ, His Son.
Because of what the Lord has done.